apostrophe. I-T-W-I-T. H-D-A-N-N-Y. And J-E-N-N-Y. Doing it with Danny and Jenny. Doing it with Danny and Jenny.
God, I've been away from that song so long.
It gets me.
You know, it's like hearing, you know, it's like going back and listening to like First Wave, you know? Yeah. I feel like we've been away.
You know when people hear that song, Hallelujah?
Oh, yeah. No.
That's what I would equate that to. It's like Eli Braden's version. Like, yeah. Eli Braden singing, Doing It With Danny and Jenny.
Absolutely. I heard there was a sacred chord and it was Doing It With Danny and Jenny. My God, our guest just went sideways. Did you see that?
Well, he just went sideways. It got that exciting.
Oh, my God. Shit.
How's that?
Welcome back.
Well, Danny, let me tell you, our guest.
Yeah, please talk to me about this. I know him. I wonder if he
You do know him because he's made an appearance on Modern Family.
He did. He played, if I'm remembering correctly, you were the cop when Cam was in a tree. Am I right?
That's exactly right.
I don't know what the name of that episode was, but I do remember you from that one.
Yeah, yes, but that was it. And he was, wasn't he in, wait, was he dressed as
cat.
His character from Cat?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
so he was a cat in a tree.
He was literally a cat in a tree, yeah.
Danny, did you write this episode because of
no,
your
I did not.
Cats?
Yeah. I think Ben Carlin wrote that episode, if I'm not mistaken. But
you're right. I thought it was you all this time. I was like, oh, yeah, Danny wrote my episode. And then I did some IMDb research and realized, no.
Oh, wait, do you want to back away from the podcast? It's not too late. We can start.
Does Ben Carlin have a podcast? I'm interested in going on his podcast.
I remember I was just on set for some reason that day, I mean, partly because I know Eric was in a tree and was not loving it at one point. And so
you were like, I need to be on set for this. Eric's in a tree, miserable.
Were you called in for damage control?
I was a wrangler. No, I mean, I was really just there for laughs because it's just funny to have one of our actors stuck in a tree. But anyway, we have the full introduction.
Yeah, full introduction. Regular on Gotham, which I love. That's
wow.
And I mean, Ray Donovan. Like,
no.
Literally, it's Drew Powell, everyone.
Drew Powell,
it's
everybody.
Fucking Drew Powell. And you,
hi, y'all.
I feel like, Drew, you've been on everything. Like, is there something you haven't been
enough.
On? Like, is there something that you haven't?
You know, there was one period where I did 12 different episodes of television in a 12-month period. So it was like of different shows. It was wild, man. It was funny because I did Modern Family and NCIS, and they aired in the same week. And it was a funny demographic study of my contacts. Who contacted me about Modern Family?
And
he was like, oh, NCIS, that was the greatest thing I ever saw. It was two very different demographics.
It's like wholesome funny. Family shit. Wait, blood, guts, and fucking murder. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, we're super excited to have you on.
It's an honor for me to be here. You know that.
Oh, well, you should aim higher, but
we'll see. You should, when we're done, we'll let
you. Well, it's funny because, so this is the new era, right? Where you know, I mean, I feel like Jenny specifically, I mean, I've actually met you, Danny, in the flesh, but Jenny, we've never met.
No, we're social media like buddies.
Like, it's social media buddies, and that feels so real. You know, like, it's very real.
Yeah.
In fact, I know social media people better than I know people that I've known in person for years.
I can tell you, like, Danny and I, Danny, how long have we known each other?
Like, I mean, now it's
over
been, like,
10 years or something.
Well
like
over
that.
10 years now.
Yeah. And when, after the pandemic, we met, you, me, and Billy Corbin met.
Yeah.
And we sat there, like, and you looked at me, like, I gave you, like, a little hug and everything. We sat there, and then you were like, wait a minute. Holy shit, I haven't seen you in 2 years.
It's wild.
Give me a hug. But we're like, yeah, we text all the time. We talk. We have this podcast.
Yeah.
I feel like we see each other.
No, but it's...
But then really, I was like, oh, wait, we haven't... Yeah.
No, I know. It's really strange. I mean, I have the same thing with friends. I mean, first of all, Jenny and I started that. I knew her from Twitter for probably like a good year before we met in person. And then... But I've had a lot of those friends who I feel like I know. I talk to a lot of my social media friends more than my IRL friends.
Exactly.
Exactly. Like you feel like you're all caught up with everyone, you know everything, and you're like, wait, oh, we haven't seen each other in 4 years?
No.
Oh, like that's
exactly. Okay. Yeah, but how's your grandma doing? Is she recovering from that gout?
Yeah.
Well, it's funny, talking back to TV, so you probably wouldn't know this, Danny, but I auditioned for both Phil and Cam for the pilot. Did. Yeah, and my audition for Phil, I was in Australia. What year was the pilot? Is that 2007
or 8?
Seven? Okay. No, so this was before, you know, everything is self-tape right now. You can see whole living room is set up with lights in the background. Yeah. But I was in Australia, so I recorded that audition with my niece, who was like, you know, maybe 11 at the time. And I had to sing that song from High School Musical.
Yeah, we're all in it together. Heard.
Exactly. So she was very embarrassed by me, was trying to teach me this song. And we, you know, and I, for whatever reason, I had this, the only time in my life I had like bleached my hair, because I've been blonde and then I get older and it's less blonde. And I was like, oh, that's what I'm going to do. And it was terrible. So that audition tape somewhere lives. Oh. And it is atrocious. But then I auditioned for Cam, and I had a very interesting revelation as an actor. This is, you know, I've been doing this for a while.
Yeah.
But I auditioned for Cam, and I came in for the casting director.
Jeff.
Whose name? Thank you, Jeff. And my initial take on Cam was to go big. Like, he was written that way, right?
Yes, he's flamboyant.
He's flamboyant. So this was, though, 2007.
Yeah, I was thinking about it. It's 2008 or 9. So now.
Okay. Yeah. It was not that's today still, where, yeah. like, yeah. you know, you guys are trailblazers, right? I mean, it was a big deal that have these the gay characters on. So I went in with this big plan to kind of go big and, like, you know, and I went in, and right before I started, I looked at Jeff and I was like, and Jeff's a gay man. And I was like, I'm going to offend him by doing what I'm going to do. And so I toned it all down and it was terrible. And then I saw Eric, and Eric and I used to see each other. I'm not kidding you, like 4 times a day. Like we'd see it early in my head, like he would be at the commercial audition. Then we'd see each other at the thing, you know, and he'd be like, hey, did you get that thing on the thing? I'm like, yeah, I got that one. He's like, so, you know, it was that kind of relationship.
Yeah,
of and course. Then I heard he got it. And I was like, you know, and then I saw what he did. I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not trying to, he's perfect. He's got
Of course, it's great.
I'm not trying to say, but it was such education for me. Like, don't censor yourself. Just do it.
Yeah.
Go with your gut. Do your thing. And so that was, I never made that mistake again.
Yeah. No, I think that's important. I mean, it's almost like I would rather somebody make the wrong choice than make no choice.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because you can't really know, and no one knows what they want early on. I mean, when I was there for the pilot, but you know, there was a lot of talk about we wanted playing that character a little smaller than Eric had decided. I talked to Eric about it. It's like, because he basically, they brought him back 4 times. He had lost that role 3 times.
Oh,
and
then wow.
The fourth time. And it was like a nightmare. But every time they kept talking to him, it's like, yeah, but we want to take it down a little bit. Or this. So, I mean, your instinct on it was right. And it was like, and he's talking about it. He's like, you guys, do you see how you wrote these words? I mean, this is, how do you want me to do this smaller?
Yeah.
And because, you know, people are, a lot of times in that scenario, you want people to, you want to show them what they want, especially in a pilot. So, it's a good object lesson.
Yeah. But did it bother you more that a Chiefs fan won the role?
Oh,
over a Colts
fan. Well, and look, let's be honest. And you know, Eric and I had a healthy rivalry, and I had just gotten a show called Leverage that he had asked me about. He was always like, hey, did you get that thing? And I was like, I don't want to talk about this stuff. He's like, hey, did you get that thing? Did you get that Leverage? I'm like, yeah. And I was kind of like, yes, yeah. Bro. And then literally a year later, he's accepting the Emmy. I'm like, oh, son
of a bitch. Okay, you win. I've had a bunch of those in my career too. It's like, I gotcha. And then it's like, oh, fuck you.
Yeah.
What the hell?
Oh, Barack Obama, you think you're so cool because you're president. I remember.
Yeah, that's a Trump card right there. Wait.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, Dolly Parton constantly taking my fucking thunder. You know, it's like, geez, I'm a wonderful person.
Where are you from, man?
I'm from Indiana, hence all of my
he's got his gear. Indianapolis.
Exactly. That was one of the ways that Jenny and I connected online, because as a big Houston Texans fan, we're in the same division. So it's funny because, you know, I grew up in Indiana, went to school at a place called DePaul University, which is in Greencastle, not the one with the L in Chicago. It's a smaller one. But you know, and then I couldn't wait to get out of there. I'm like, I'm getting out of here. I'm moving. I can't wait. Look, put this place in my rearview mirror. And I moved to LA and I was like, ah, it's not so bad. You know, so, you know, it's one of those places I appreciate as the years have gone by and my folks still live there. And it's kind of a great, I've got an 11-year-old son. And so we take him back there for a little country living. And I appreciate it much more now, for sure.
Yeah.
But you strike me as like a real, like you're more of a dude's dude than I am, for sure. Which anybody is, basically. But like,
no, I should have explained when I said it, like that Eric's a Chiefs fan and he was a Colts fan.
I knew that. I got
that. Okay, I didn't know. I just
I've like, gotten better.
It wasn't Broadway.
I'm still not great.
Yeah. But I watched the Tony Awards the other night and I thought of you because I.
Me too.
I just watched the first one to see Jesse Tyler win. Far Ferguson win.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Hell of a win. Good
yeah,
was,
but yeah, Danny, you're not. It's not.
It's not like I'm not a you know I can enjoy a good match.
You like to watch the sports.
I'll watch the sports at least up until the intermission.
Yeah. And then, the camaraderie, the rivalry.
Wait, are you a New Jersey guy? Is that where you?
I am. So I grew up liking the Giants, and I also grew up liking, sadly, the Knicks. Sure.
Les Mis.
And Les Mis.
Yeah.
And I but I was like, the very first baseball game I ever went to, which I don't really remember that much because I was like 4 years old, but I was at Shea Stadium for the 69 Mets. It's like, and I was like,
69 too,
what?
By the way.
What?
Hey.
69.
Yeah, 69. Nice.
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 But so I like the Met. I mean, that 86 series is one of the, like, that was like a year where it was like, basically, I think like Giants won, the Mets won, and then Syracuse went to the finals only to lose to Indiana.
Yeah.
Syracuse is your alma mater too.
Yeah, Syracuse is my alma mater, so I was not a huge fan of Mr. Knight, but
I wasn't either. If I'm honest, he was a real prick.
Although I did like the movie, I like the movie Hoosiers quite a bit.
Yeah.
Oh, now we're talking best sports movie of all time, no question.
Bobby Knight was a chore.
Oh man, he was a god in Indiana, still is for some people. But you know, I always was like, why? How does he? Even as a kid, I'm like, how does he get away with this stuff?
Yeah,
like, he was just a grouchy asshole. Yeah. Well, that's it. But there's a movie called Blue Chips.
Oh, I love Blue Chips. That? Okay, that's fucking amazing. I've seen it a million times. One of my favorites.
Right. Well, it holds up. It holds up.
It holds up amazing.
It's a movie where Nick Nolte basically plays this Bobby Knight character. Shaquille O'Neal's in it. Anthony Hardaway.
Yeah,
One of the best performances, though, is Bob Cousy, plays the AD.
He plays the Larry Bird type guy.
He's like the AD of this university. It's set in L.A., but they shot it literally like 20 miles up the road from my house in a little town called Frankfort, which happened because it's Indiana, had an arena, like a freaking domed arena for high school basketball. In fact, I played my last high school basketball game. I fouled out and I was laying down in the center of this court, looking up at this dome, thinking like, this is pretty crazy. This is basketball in Indiana.
It's a great way to go out of your high school career, though.
It was. Yeah, I led the team in fouls every year. Yeah,
was it Breaking Away also Indiana?
Yeah, that's Southern Indiana.
Mm-hmm. That was one of my favorite movies. I love that.
Another great one. The thing with
Blue Chips, I always think about is like, because I spent 6 years as a television sports producer, so I was like,
that's right,
very much embedded in that world. And Blue Chips, Danny, have you seen Blue Chips?
I have not.
Okay, the thing about it, the reason it holds up, it's like, okay, we really want to recruit this your son, you know, coming out of, and all of a sudden there's a duffel bag full of cash on their doorstep, and it feels like. I feel like the NCAA kind of made that movie not as popular. Somebody was paid off because
it was just all of
a
sudden publicity.
Some family has a new tractor. Somebody's got a new home. That's the way it works. And now there's a different thing where players can actually get money, as they should, because everyone's making money off of their name and their likelihood. But that movie is like how people were recruiting. Oh, yeah. It's well worth it. And by the way, Nick Nolte looks like... fully looks like an NCAA Division I basketball coach. Like he has the crazy hair. They threw a sweater on him. They, you know,
it's a great performance. Yeah. It's even if you're not a sport ball fan, Danny, I think you might find some
No, I like a good sports movie. I just recalled I got so far away from the question I was going to ask you based on all of this on sports. But this is the question. Like, when did you know you wanted to act? When did you want to know you wanted to be in that world?
Oh, thank you, Danny, for asking our guest a question about him.
Yeah, no, I know. Well, I was leaning up to it, but I was like kind of curious. Like, was it kind of a thing? You're growing up in Indiana. Was this a dream of yours, or was it something you fell into?
It's a great question, and it's one I think about all the time because I'm like, how did I get here? Because I'm from a small town northwest of Indiana called Lebanon, and that's how you know somebody knows it because they call it Lebanon instead of Lebanon.
Not Lebanon.
How it's spelled. It's not Lebanon. It's Lebanon. And about 12,000 when I was growing up. Wow. And so small. It was like kind of half agricultural farming town, half the commuters, into Indy, which is what my dad was. And it wasn't like I knew a whole bunch of actors or I knew, from the time I could remember, like I was performing and I loved it. I memorized Twas the Night Before Christmas and recited it to my kindergarten class, which then became the whole school. They're like, oh my God, he has the whole thing memorized. So they put me out in front of the whole school and I did it. And then I did the first talent show. I did Grandma's Feather Bed by John Denver. And my dad had to work. So he recorded it and I put it on a boombox on a piano bench next to me on the stage with my little cowboy hat and my plaid shirt. And I sang it and everybody cheered. And I'm like, this is the greatest thing ever. So like from the beginning,
it was
all about that. Yeah.
But then
it was like, how do you do that? Right. So by the time I got to college, I actually, Jenny was looking to be a sports journalist because that was the way I could legitimately be on camera. Right. There was a path to that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I interned at C-SPAN, which was tremendously boring.
Yeah, that's everyone's favorite site to jerk off to. Right? Ooh, C-SPAN. There we go.
Oh my God.
And the founder of ESPN is from my college, from the tiny little DePaul, the founder, Bill Rasmussen. Oh. But somehow I couldn't get an internship there, but I got one at C-SPAN. It was it was not great. But I interned with the sports department at the CBS affiliate in Indianapolis. And I was like, but then I realized like, in order to do that, I was going to have to like spend 3 years in Sheboygan. And then I was going to have to go over to Kalamazoo and, work my way up. And even when I was there, like at the top of my game, it was going to be like, it was just a placeholder. So I packed up right after I graduated. I packed up my car and moved to LA and had a part-time job as a youth director at the church on the corner of Colfax and Moore Park, which you've probably shot in.
I actually think we've shot
them. Big white pillars. It looks like a New England church.
I worship everyone.
Yeah. It's where we worship you.
Yeah.
And and that was it. I got 15 grand a year, and I rented a room for $200 from an old 90-year-old man up in the hills, and that was on my way. And then I never looked back. So it's a hell of a journey. So these kids will call me up and be like, hey, I want to be an actor. What do you say? I'm like, I have no idea.
isn't that a weird question? And Danny, I know you get it all the time where you have like a friend or someone that's like, hey, I'm going to have someone, I gave someone your number.
Yeah.
You know, and you're like, why would you do that? Oh. I've got nothing. I've got fucking nothing.
How many scripts do you get handed, Danny?
Well, now I make it very unpleasant right now. But I mean, it's not that I don't read any scripts. I try and read usually I'll read a script or two a week from somebody, or at least the first 10 pages. I guess all I can, if I'm not engaged. But I had to learn to say no, because it was like, but one of the writers on Modern Family, this guy Dan O'Shannon, really smart guy, but he described the process. It's like when he tells somebody, it's like show business is like, it's not like there's not like that career path. It's basically you hack your way through a jungle with a machete. And when you get through it, that path has closed behind you.
Yeah.
And everybody else has to find another path.
You're not putting your arm back going, grab my hand and let me pull you through.
There's no sort of set route. And it's like everybody sort of has to reinvent it in some way. I mean, again, like there are certain things you can do. If you're a writer, well, you should fucking write all the time. Right. If you're an actor, train, do all that kind of stuff. But apart from that, it's like,
you just have to do it yourself. And when people are like, hey, what do you think I should do? I'm like, I don't know what I should do. I'm still trying to figure it out.
Yeah. So I was lucky enough to be the commencement speaker at DePaul in 2019. Wow. It was a big honor, and it was almost 20 years to the day that I graduated. And so it was a real, like, one of those life moments where you're like, okay, things are coming full circle. Yeah. And, but I told the story about, you know, just to kind of reiterate your point, and that's such a good analogy. It's so good because that's it. But like, even me getting in the union, I had auditioned for a little while. I actually, my first audition, this is true, was for Days of Our Lives to be a youth director from a church, at like playing guitar and singing at a, which I play the guitar and I sing at a campfire. And I didn't get the job. It was literally me. And I didn't get the
thing
job.
That
so
you do.
Like, that thing, exactly. So there was like.
And it actually, on the breakdown, it said a Drew Powell type.
Yeah, exactly. But then
could you be more of a Drew Powell type while being Drew Powell?
Exactly. But so I get this audition for Malcolm in the Middle, and it was for the first episode after the pilot. They'd shot the pilot and they had gotten picked up. And I auditioned to play, this was for Tough Cadet number two, at the military school, the first season and a half, you know, the oldest boy was at the military school. So the audition was this, it's a callback. And so you've done a million of these, you know, and it was in Radford Studios. So it was tiny little rooms. If you've been there, like, and so like the couch was like full, they were jammed. Two people were sitting on either armrest and there were people standing up and it was just packed. And so I'm nervous as hell. And I go in there. And the first line is, I'm supposed to look down the hall and say, Commandant on the 410 Hut, and I salute. And so they're like, all right, Drew, you ready? And I've got my like army shirt on. I'm like, you know, I'm all primed. And I look down the hall and I'm like, Commandant on the 410 Hut. And I went, bam, like right in my eye. And my eyes open when I, like, and I'm like, fuck! It hurt so bad that I lost, like, there was no, like, saving it. I was like, mother! And it was silent for a minute. Yeah. And then suddenly, the place exploded. One dude, I think it was Todd Holland, like fell off of of the side of the couch. They thought it was the funny. And I don't know if they thought, I think they just felt sorry for me. Like what a sad piece of, but that got the job, got me in the union, got my Taft Hartley, and I did 13 episodes. So like that, you know, I mean, so that's the advice.
That was your first job.
I got to say, like that's that is a pretty inspirational story actually. And I find that the people who sponsor this show are also great inspirations.
I would bet.
How was that for my segue to a break?
Yeah. Danny, by the way, I have one for you. I would bet my life.
Oh, that this next sponsor?
Yeah.
I mean, you want to just do this thing live and then?
Let's do it live.
Okay, we're going to do it live.
We're
doing it live.
Let's just do it and see what we got.
All right.
And we won't make a meal of this. We're going to do this commercial live. Then we're going to come back and we're going to talk about, because we haven't talked about, we're going to talk about stuff we've been watching and what we most love. Because that's always.
That's one of our favorite things. All right. Y'all ready to go? All right. Doing It Nation, our partners at Bet Online continue to be the number one source for all your betting needs and
find all of the latest odds, news, and sports developments, including
this year's NBA Finals, the NHL Hockey Conference Finals, Major League Baseball scores, all the latest fighting news, and even next season's early NLF futures. That might be NFL. I'm not sure.
I am so glad you had that line because I didn't know whether that was sort of like an NLF.
They misspelled it. I said it the way it was read.
National Lacrosse Federation.
I like that, Drew. Is it my turn? Yeah, good. Yeah. BetOnline is your continued source for confusing acronyms and all your sporting wagering information, from live betting to playoffs, esports, and more.
Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code CLNS50 to get the bonus and get into the action.
BetOnline hyphen where the game starts! !
Boom, motherfucker.
End of advertisement.
All right, we nailed that shit. Holy I'm sorry.
I don't know how much they paid you for that, but they need to double it because that was the best ad I've ever seen.
From your
believe me, Danny and I kill this shit every week, and
we are just the fact
that I'm not sitting on a yacht right now doing this podcast is absolutely insane to me.
Well, before we get to what we're watching, what do you got cooking up there, Mr. Drew?
Yeah, hit us up.
Well, I just finished, I'm in the middle of shooting a Christmas movie for HBO Max, which is, I can tick that off my career bingo card. I haven't done that yet, which is a sweet little film called, it used to be called A Stolen Christmas. Now it's called A Christmas Mystery.
Oh.
But
so
it's
HBO Max, so people are going to get murdered and then Christmas.
Yeah, exactly.
Nothing but
I have done a Lifetime movie, and I've got that on my big card. Yeah. But there's a movie that I shot in 2020 in the heart of the pandemic called Unbreakable Boy, which with Zach Levi, who you might know from Shazam and other things. Yeah. And it is a true story about this family with this autistic kid and just kind of the story of their life. And what I love the most about it is it's not like, this is the true story of this family that ended up curing cancer or that, you know, became and they all, whatever. This is just a normal family. They live in Omaha. Like, they're just a family. And he wrote his memoir and somebody found it and they made it into this beautiful movie. And I'm so proud of it. And it was supposed to come out in theaters. It's a Lionsgate film. It was supposed to come out on May 18th, but it got pushed because of COVID. So it's living in Never Never Land. But someday that is going
to
come out.
I can't wait to see that.
It's great.
That's fantastic.
It's a really good one.
I love that. My nephew's autistic, and I very much, you know, appreciate.
And I have a daughter.
And Danny has a daughter who's autistic, and so.
Oh my gosh!
So I love this stuff.
I want to come back on after you've seen the movie and hear what you think because they took great pains to kind of tell the story of what it's what it's like to be a parent, of an autistic kid.
Yeah,
and this kid was autistic, and he also had osteogenesis imperfecta, which is brittle bone syndrome. So if you could imagine that combo, I think he's on like 70 broken bones in his life and he's like, 23 or something. So it's amazing, but it's a great story. And I have a cousin that's autistic and it's very, I think so many, like who doesn't?
Everyone does.
Somebody,
It's crazy. And now that you have the spectrum, I mean, my daughter was sort of a very late diagnosis because it wasn't like, she was like, in a way it was hard for her because she could pass for up to a certain point.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just seemed like she was being rude or lazy or tired.
Right.
And it was like, oh, wait, no. And then, so the diagnosis for us was like,
But, something with autism, I remember learning my nephew was autistic and then, and how many people sometimes would say oh, I'm so sorry. I'm like, no, it's not a terminal diagnosis. This is just one aspect of who he is. He's a happy kid. He's one of the happiest kids you've ever seen. He's the biggest grin on his face constantly. There's nothing.
Yeah. Well,
there's nothing to be sorry for,
Exactly. And that's the absolute, you hit the heart of what this movie's about. It's called Unbreakable Boy because through it all, and the dad's alcoholism and the mom also has osteogenesis, through it all, it was that person that his constant happiness is that his look on life that kept him going and so that's it.
I really have to give us a shout out when that's coming on so we can watch
I sure will.
I cannot wait, it's one of the highest
tested movies Lionsgate's ever had. So they're really keen to put it out in theaters and so instead of dropping it to a streamer
it'll come out.
Do you show full frontal? Is that the reason?
That's why. It's great for families and also for the XXX community.
Yeah, and that's why you really are going to want to see it on IMAX.
Yeah,
it's all there.
Just leave it up to me to just ruin the family.
You're going to watch Avatar.
That's why I do not get invited to things.
It would be like watching Avatar on your phone. You're not going to do it.
When Danny casts you and I as husband and wife in his next picture, whatever it is.
In my shower fantasy.
Everyone will, it will be like 9.5 weeks for terrible people.
speaking of other movies, what are TV shows or anything? I got so much to talk about. I want to hear what you have to say.
I wonder if mine are the same as yours.
I know.
Tell me you guys watched the Barry season finale because I want to talk about it.
I haven't watched Barry yet. I have been busy. Wow. I haven't even started it because I want to just binge the whole thing.
Okay, can we take 2 seconds to talk about Barry without spoiling anything?
Yeah, don't spoil anything, but please talk about it.
I thought that this season was so incredible. And I just want to say, and Bill Hader, I think, may be the best director working in television right now. Do you agree?
Yes. He's and doesn't he do everything? He directs. He he wrote.
But there's an episode, Two from the End, that has a, it's basically like a car chase kind of thing happening. You've never seen.
It's bizarre.
You've never seen one directed like this in your life. Yeah. It is just like, it made you feel like, this is what an actual chase is like. No,
it's or not what like, about that fight in season two, which is the most, it goes on forever. And ever. It's so dirt, gross. There's no like beautiful choreographed moves. It's like, in
it's
the
just
and the,
real.
Yeah,
it's so real.
And Henry Winkler gives
God,
the
I love
performance
him.
Of his life.
Yeah, here. Absolutely. So my buddy Anthony Carrigan, who was on
your buddy?
With me, he's a good friend of mine, and so I was with him when he got that role. He's like, "Yeah, I just auditioned for this role to play a Chechenian." You know, so I was like, "How's your Chechenian accent?" He's like, "Yeah." But you know, like, and then he booked it, and then they shot the pilot, and then waited like a year and a half. To shoot this first season, and then they waited a year for it to come. Like the thing has been this longest fit, but man, talk about worth the wait. And he plays Noho Hank. How good is he?
I mean, Noho Hank.
That
is
last
like,
scene.
Oh, Noho Hank is amazing.
That last scene.
Yeah, but by the way, where I live, there's a Russian restaurant that's around the corner, and every time I walk Dewey, my dog, by it, it sounds like Noho Hank. Like everyone is talking. Exactly. My family, you know, or come on, you know. Like every person sounds like they're mimicking Noho Hank.
Yeah, totally. It's a hell of a show. And I gotta be honest, there were times I'm like, this show is so weird. Like there's that episode season two where the girl is
the one
on the roof.
Yeah.
I don't know what's happening. And so I was little, but by the time this last season, and I actually texted Anthony, I'm like, all right, close your ears. I was like, was it a monster? Is it a tiger? What was it?
They never told you.
He hasn't got back to me yet. I'm dying to know.
Okay. I'm putting my earbuds back in.
What, anything else? That was definitely at the top of my list. But that,
and I'm watching Winning Time, which I love as well. You know, Adam McKay.
I watched the first one and it didn't quite catch me, but I heard it got better.
Yeah,
it gets better. Yeah, it took me a few episodes to get into it. But I'm on five now, and it's rolling now.
I just plowed through all of the Stranger Things.
Yeah,
have you all watched that?
I have. I watched Stranger Things.
Absolutely.
Good. Like I can't say that I'm like just oh my god, holy shit, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen. But I liked it. Like it's worth a watch.
It's not the best season.
It's a fun watch, and I was like, I couldn't stand the whole thing with Eleven. Like her, storyline was awful.
This third season,
this last
season,
or whatever it is,
whatever it was.
I was like, no, I liked the everyone else's storyline. I didn't care for.
I'm so happy that Kate Bush is running up that hill is now the number one song. Like, that was my favorite song in the 80s. Like, what I used to, I was like, listen to this song. It never was like the biggest hit it could be out here.
People didn't get it back then.
Yeah.
No, I mean, it was like, it was big in England. And it was like, I remember like listening to it on like WLIR in Long Island.
Yeah.
It was like, but it was like, I was like, this is like, I'd have it on every mixtape. And now it's the number one song. It was literally the number one song.
Saw somebody tweeted something that was so funny. It was like, Kate Bush has the number one song and Top Gun is the number one movie. Are we just going back to 1986? Are we just trying? Let's just start over again.
The other thing I loved was that meme where it had that line from Back to the Future where he finishes playing and he's like, you guys may not get it yet, but your kids are going to love it. And it was like, that was 100%.
Oh, that's really funny.
Yeah. But my wife is British, and so she loved Kate.
Oh, basically. Yeah.
Yeah, oh, and it was like, she was like, people didn't, I was like, no, only the people on the fringes love Kate Bush here.
Yeah. Kate Bush was like very old. She was like, first of all, I was like, I thought she was so hot. And it was like, on top of everything, it was like,
What have you been watching, Danny?
I watch a lot. Well, first, I got a bunch of stuff. I'll do it real quick.
Hit us with it.
Speaking of autism, the best show in the world for me where I just cry every season and they just did an American season is Love on the Spectrum on Netflix. If you have not watched it, I'm telling you, it is so beautiful. Mm-hmm. And it's so like, it's like you feel good when you're watching it. It's just,
absolutely.
Okay, I like that.
Really good. What did I watch? I loved, I watched, obviously Better Call Saul. I thought was,
I haven't finished it yet. Ray is a good friend of mine who plays Kim. And she's another one where you're like, I'm so happy for her.
She gives the best performance on TV for years.
Why has she not won a freaking Emmy?
I've been saying this forever. Since season one, there is nobody who's giving a more nuanced, like to make that character. And this season, she went full bore. It was like, it was... Mm-hmm. So
I still don't spoil it. I still got four more to watch.
Yeah, I was just shocked. Been behind.
This year. Damn it.
I'm sorry. I also forgot. There's two last episodes of Hacks I haven't watched, but Hacks has been.
Yeah, I like Hacks. I thought it redeemed the end.
I haven't watched the last two episodes.
It gets better at the end for me for those. Okay. And then I really, I'm just talking about a movie, which I'm talking about, which I meant to talk about the last time, but it's like my favorite movie in the last couple of years was Everything Everywhere All at Once. Have you seen that?
I haven't seen it yet.
People are raving about this thing.
Can I just tell you? I've seen it twice in theaters, and I see now it's available to buy on iTunes, and I'm probably just going to buy it because I can't recommend this movie enough. It is like purely original, insanely funny, makes you cry, weird as fuck. Michelle Yeoh and the actor who had played like Short Round in Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom.
Oh yeah, really?
He's her husband. I'm not going to ruin anything.
Dr. Jones.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. His performance is honestly one of the most. It's basically one of those situations where you have a character who kind of seems a little bit like insubstantial. Comic relief, whatever. Mm-hmm. And the surprising turns in his character and his performance makes you just want to just amazing. Wow. It's great.
As an actor, you dream of those jobs. Yeah. You know, and that's why my friends like Anthony and Ray to are the ones. You're just hanging in your career for just one of those bad boys that you can just sink your teeth into, you know. Yeah. That's great. And then to deliver is
Yeah.
You know what I actually watched on the plane back when I was in Europe was the new Ghostbusters Afterlife.
I haven't seen that.
I have to say, I know Jason Reitman a bit, and I know, Ivan, his father passed away, and I knew that his father got to see it. Oh my God, I couldn't believe at the end of it. Like, my sister and I were on the plane. I'm like, why am I fucking crying at Ghostbusters?
Because you're on a plane.
Because you're on a plane. That's science, right?
But my sister saw it in the theater and she was like, he's such a brilliant writer, director. But just watching that, like, by the end of it, maybe it was I was on a plane, but.
Yeah.
Because I love Ghostbusters so much.
Yeah.
Nostalgia factor and the way that it was done. I will say, with Ghostbusters, at the end of Ghostbusters, I found myself emotional because I thought it was a very sweet tribute to Harold Ramis.
That's lovely.
Yeah,
isn't it true that you get more emotional because the oxygen or whatever on planes? Because I'm always crying on movies.
It's a crazy situation, which I thought everybody thought it their own. They've actually studied this. You are more emotional on a plane. I remember flying to Australia, and it is an emotional documentary, but it wasn't like that. I was watching that documentary 20 Feet from Stardom, about the
My God, that's a great, but that made me cry on land.
So. Oh, it did? Okay. Yeah, I was crying to such an extent that I was making
people feel uncomfortable.
Okay.
No, on the way
to
London.
You're right.
I saw that they had, I'm like, oh, what am I going to watch? And I'm looking through all the movies. I was like, The Never Ending Story. What is it, my birthday? Yeah. I'm going to watch that. And that horse every time when Artek sinks, I was a basket case. I was like, can I just roll the shade up? Been just a
huge, since Kaja Gugu, you've been a Jamal fan.
I was just inconsolable.
It is funny how all this, you talk about that, and the first thing I think of is that Stranger Things callback to Neverending Story, which was genius.
God, it made me happy.
That was really good, actually.
Yeah,
and I'm thinking everything is nostalgia these days, right?
No, I mean,
people are going to start making their own stuff, right?
Yeah. I'll show you what a nerd I am because my backpack is actually right here.
Danny, let's go.
Danny is very well aware of my never.
She's gonna bring out an inhaler.
This is my iPad.
Oh, look at
my iPad is
the never-ending story.
Right. Yeah. That so is
what Jenny produced for people who are listening to the podcast was she has an iPad cover that is actually the book, The Never-Ending Story.
The Never-Ending Story, but with the orange symbol on the front of it. Yeah.
Do they make one of those that's The Princess Bride too? Because I think that would be another that book from The Princess Bride.
I have no idea. I'll have to ask. It was a gift.
Yeah, I'm going to have to look for that. That's a good one.
I want the Evil Dead.
Our former podcast guest, Shooter Jennings, and I, him and I got those together.
Oh, that's great.
We're both obsessed with it.
Well, I love it. Look,
Drew, you have been actually just lovely to have as a guest. I can't believe it's already over.
It feels like we just started.
I know. I mean, I'm going to watch your movie when it comes out, and we're going to have you back and talk. But I really enjoyed this, man.
Yeah.
Thanks. Me too.
I was like, I said, I don't like they like both Jenny and Guy said, we're going to, you know, bring Drew on. And I said, over my dead body. And then, and then they were like, no, I like the guy. And I go, well, and you guys said, you like the guy. And I go, well, that's because you don't fucking know him.
Yeah. And then I was like, I owe him money, I think. I don't know. Let's just see what happens.
But I'm mad enough to say I was wrong. You are a good guy.
Come on. Thank you. Well, please hire me.
You got it. Yeah. You hire me.
No,
I will. You guys are delights, both of you. And hey, listen, let's think about maybe meeting up in person and watching some football this fall.
Yeah, I would do it.
What do you think? Let's go.
Oh, I would.
Danny, you only have to stay for the first quarter.
No, I love when. Yeah, I'll just stay. You know, I love when they take that 3-pointer.
Yeah, so yeah, he's like and one. And
yeah, that was like, plus one.
Plus one. I'm sorry.
That was what I did.
Thank you, Doing It Nation.
And honestly, all I can say is if Mr. Powell's name comes up in the credits of anything you're watching, it's going to be fucking elevated. So watch it. There we go.
Boom. Doing It Nation.
Thank you.
Doing It Nation.
Now I'm crying. I'm not even on a plane. I'm crying.
You're just high.
All right.